Glory be to God forever. Well, Jesus is Lord. I've got a rather radical statement up there on the board. If that doesn't blow you away, I don't know what will. Jesus is Lord. And before we get into this, let's pray because this is really important to me. Okay? This is something that I've been studying, meditating on, praying over, walking in. It's vitally part of my life. It's a big part of what I'm called to do. And so I really want to, once again, pull with me this morning because in this message today is a huge, huge amount of stuff. Okay? And there's like, it would be impossible to just get all this stuff across to you, but, and some of the things I'm going to present to you this morning would be, you know, in some churches would be like, what? It'd be, almost be like heresy, okay? So, get ready, pull, let's believe God together that we can have revelation that will change our lives. It's no good for you to just come and just have me say a bunch of stuff to you and go home. Believe that you'll get revelation that'll radically change your life. Radically change your life. And I believe that right now, today is the day of radical change. We can be changed. I can be changed. I'm anticipating change in myself. So that 3 weeks from now, I'm a completely different person than I was 3 weeks ago, right? This is the way it goes. We get to change from glory to glory. And the message I'm going to share with you this morning is a big part of how the glory of the Lord will come. And if we will honor and do and put in practice what we're going to hear about, all right, then we're going to have some serious things happen. And the first thing that's going to happen is you are going to be radically changed. Right? All right. Let's pray. Once again, pull and believe with me, because I'm believing, okay? I'm believing that I'll be able to get this across. You got to believe and pull too, okay? Because some things that we can establish and speak in the Spirit doesn't just affect us, but it will affect this region, it will affect things in the spirit realm, right? One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Well, do the math. We can put a lot to flight, all right? We can put this whole area to flight. Be taken off, all right? Glory be to God forever. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your presence with singing. We've honored the blood this morning. We honor you with our words and our worship. We worship you right now, Father. We are believing for revelation this morning. We are believing to be right in the middle of what you've called for this area, for this church, for this time and day that we live in, Father. I'm asking you that you bless us this morning with your presence, Holy Ghost, as the teacher, as the guide, that you would allow me to speak your words, that the ears will be open, let them hear what you, the Spirit of the living God, is saying to this church in particular and all the churches around in Jesus' name. We receive that anointing now. We receive your blessing, Holy Ghost. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and all the praise, all of it. In Jesus' name, thank you. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Okay, that's it. Let's go home. No. I'm going to talk about the speaking blood. Now, if that doesn't freak you out, I don't know. You don't get freaked out by anything, do you? The speaking blood. The Holy Ghost abides in and embodies the living blood of Christ and gives him shape and form and voice. Now, you're going to have to meditate on this. Write that down, take it home, say it several times, and let that just seep down in you because we're dealing with something here that is huge, all right? The speaking blood. What do you mean, the speaking blood? You mean blood speaks? Well, according to the Word of God, it does. A certain type of blood speaks. Well, how can blood speak? Isn't it just like a red fluid that flows through your veins? Well, in one way, if it's just regular blood, I guess so. But we're talking about blood, okay? Blood that is inhabited by something or someone. You know, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I've had some visions and dreams that needed some explaining. And this explains what happened. Okay, let's get into the Word. Glory be to God forever. Turn with me to 1 John 5:8. Now, we have been talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost. The person. Is he a person? Yeah, or is he just some kind of spirit that flows like the wind? You never know what he's doing or where he's going because he's the wind. No, he's a person, and you will know where he goes and what he does when you get to know him. And I've talked about this many times. You know, some people may be strange. You may only see them show up here and there, and in between, you have no idea what they're doing, right? I see them at church, and I saw them once at the mall. But beyond that, I never know what they're doing. Well, they're doing something, and they're still a person, right? Just because you don't know where they are and what they're doing doesn't mean they aren't doing something, and they're somewhere, right? They don't, well, I saw them at the mall, and then they vanished, and they turned into a wisp of air. And they're something completely different. But then when they come to church, they're a regular person. Okay? This is how we treat the Holy Spirit. He is a person, and just because he's not around you 24 hours a day, which he should be, and maybe he is, you think he's off doing something out into the ocean or something. Oh, glory be to God forever. So in talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost, we have gone a long way in describing, I hope, that you understand he inhabits words, right? He functions through words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was God. Now, I can't go through all of this again, but he inhabits the words. When Jesus spoke words and they affected people, it was the Holy Ghost doing something. He was manifesting himself. It'd be like, yes, I saw him at the mall. I saw him at those words. I saw him in the gift of the Spirit, the gift of healing. I saw him in the gift of the discerning of spirits. I saw him. He showed up right there. That was him. Are we understanding that? That is him. When somebody gets up and prophesies and says, thus says the Lord, that is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. Right? In words. Predominantly. Glory be to God. I am going to read this scripture here. 1 John 5:8. Glory be to God. 1 John 5:8. Listen with the ears of your spirit, not with your head. Because most of the stuff I'm going to share with you just will not make sense with your head. All right? 1 John 5 and verse 8. There are three that bear witness in the earth. Stop right there. What is bearing witness? Testifying, to say something. When you come a witness, the witness comes up to the witness stand. He comes up there. What is he expected to say? He's expected to say words that gives his testimony. He's going to say what he saw. He's witnessing. I witnessed. I was at the scene of the crime when it all happened. Right? There are three that bear witness in the earth. Now, where are we right now? We're in heaven, man. No, we are in the earth. This is what we're dealing with, right? Three bear witness, testify, speak words in the earth. The Spirit, which is what we've been talking about. The Spirit is bearing witness with words. Jesus spoke words to the wind and the sea, and what happened? Calm. Jesus said, stand upright on your feet. Stood upright on their feet, right? This is words. The Holy Spirit bearing witness with words. Okay. You're like, all right, already. I've heard that 1,000 times. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, if you study it out, and many theologians, in fact, I've never heard of anybody else say anything other than this, that the water is the Word. All right? The Word. The washing of water with the Word. And we'll flip over there. I will prove this to you. I'm going to talk about these three for a second. There are three that bear witness in the earth. Hold your place there. I'll flip right back. Go over with me to Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? The Word. With the washing of water by the Word. All right? This really isn't the complete topic here that I'm talking about. The Spirit and the water and the blood, these three agree in what? Many? They agree in one. Just trying to lay the foundation here so we're all on the same page. The Spirit and the water, which manifests in the Word, and the blood. Even here in this verse, if you meditated on this deeply, it would say that the Spirit speaks or testifies. The Word or the water speaks and testifies. We could talk about the speaking water, right? But then we're talking about the blood that speaks. It's testifying. Oh, this is going to get good. I hope you guys are ready for this. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God forever. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. Why, Andrew, what's your favorite verse of Scripture? I would probably have to say the end of Hebrews chapter 12. Why? Well, you just put your seatbelt on here. You know what? I'm going to start up a little bit farther. I'm going to start in 22, Hebrews chapter 12, 22. But you are come. Who's the Bible talking to?
Me.
You, that's right. And me. So you could say this. You could say, I am come. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. What was made perfect? The spirits of just men. It didn't say their hair was made perfect. Right? Or their bodies were made perfect. You can't get into heaven unless your body is buff like mine. You'd be like, that's easy. I'm in. We're there. No, he didn't say that. He said your spirit is made perfect. How do you contact God? Where do you communicate with God from? You communicate with him from your spirit, man. He is a spirit. He speaks to your spirit. Right? Not with our heads. People try to contact God with their heads. They get all goofy and weird. The spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. Now hang on. It looks to me, unless you know I'm completely stupid, which could be, but it looks to me like he's calling the blood of Jesus a him that speaks. Okay? The blood of Jesus. Well, come on now. How can blood, without a body, it'd just be a pile, right, on the ground. It'd just be, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much, but I probably should have studied this out, how much blood a human body actually has in it. Somebody probably knows this. It's probably not that much, what, quarts or something? I don't know. Right? But if you took it out of a physical body, what is it? It's just liquid. Liquid dissipates and oozes into the ground, and we're talking about blood. Right? But blood, and he's saying here, read this again. Refuse, see that you refuse not him that speaks. Before that it said the blood of sprinkling that speaks. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. What's going to shake the earth? His voice, his words, him that is speaking. Who's speaking? The blood is speaking. Okay, I'll throw this out here. I don't know, I'll listen to it later. I may have to remove it from the tape. I had a vision once of blood speaking to me, okay? Person, now, you know, just stay with me here, okay? Now, if you could see, as you're looking at me, if you could see none of my clothes, none of my skin, none of my bones, none of my hair, none of my anything, and all you saw, like with some specific kind of an X-ray gizmo, and all you could see was my blood, what would you see? You would see me as a form, right? As a man, you would see the blood in my fingers. You'd see the blood flowing through my veins and my head and my lips and my eyes. You wouldn't see my fingernails. I don't think there's any blood in there. Or my hair. Or my, right? You would see the form of a man. But it would look red like blood. Brother, that's really strange. You're telling us it. Well, I'm telling, yes, it is strange. But I'm talking about the speaking blood, and I'm trying to lay and establish to you that there is something that is precious and holy. It's called the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit inhabits this blood as if it were his own physical body. All right? And there's reasons for all of this, and I hope to get into it. Glory be to God forever. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So through this operation, I don't have time right now, I'm going to get into it a little later. Through this operation of the blood, and the Holy Spirit speaking through the blood, he's going to shake the earth. How many of us have been believing for this? Yes. Are we believing for God to shake this region? Yes. He's telling us right here how he's going to do it. He's going to do it through the speaking blood of Jesus. And it will be, obviously, we're talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be the Holy Ghost doing it through the blood of Jesus. Can you believe there are churches that don't even want you to mention the blood of Jesus in their church? They take it out of all the hymnals and stuff because they don't want it to offend anybody. Blood, 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 the blood of Jesus. There. And here in this church, we're talking about, you know, the form of a man and built out of blood. I'm excited about it. The blood of Jesus is where it's at, my friends. Let's see. He says he's going to remove and shake those things that are made. What does that include? What things have been made? Everything. Everything that we see has been made, right? It's made. Look at this building. It's going to shake. Why? What will shake it? The blood, the speaking blood of Jesus. Yeah. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Okay, what cannot be shaken? The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the blood. That's where you're going to be. And you talk about unity, that's where unity is in the Spirit of God. The unity of the Spirit, the unity of the Word, the unity of the blood. Yeah. Okay. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Well, brother, I thought Jesus was meek and mild, and he loves everybody, and he's very tolerant, and you know, oh, brother, our God is a consuming fire. You want to come meet my God? Come to our church. It's consuming fire. You better wear your fire repellent, you know, one of those drivers, remember the race car drivers? They got all this, like, 8 layers of stuff on so that if their car crashes and burns, they survive and they don't get burned. Wear that to church. You're going to come meet my God, right here. Our God is a consuming fire. All right. Let's take this another step here. It says, and to Jesus the mediator, verse 24, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So logically, we should go and we should look a little bit at what Abel did, right? Wouldn't that make sense? Okay, because this blood, this living blood is speaking, right? And speaking better things than that of Abel. Now, what we think, okay, immediately thinking, what, Abel's blood is speaking? No. Okay? There's only one speaking blood, and I'm hoping to get that through to you, okay? Not everybody's blood when you die. All right? You die, and your blood oozes out of you, goes into the ground, and then forms a man and starts speaking to people. No. No. There's only one blood, and we will establish that right here. Glory be to God. Verse 4, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying, God speaking of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By what? By his more excellent sacrifice. Through his faith that was in that sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. The blood of bulls and goats, did it make anybody righteous? No, it didn't. But here, through faith, God said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice by faith. What was that faith in? It was in the blood of Jesus. He offered it in faith of the blood of Jesus. And through it, God speaks. So Abel's offering was the same offering. It was the blood of Jesus. Made him righteous. Glory to God. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Glory to God. Oh, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. Leviticus 17:11. Most of you probably have this underlined in your Bible. If you don't, it may be one of the only places in Leviticus that you have underlined, but you need to find it and do that. Glory be to God forever. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for your souls. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And here's where it gets deep. So hang on, okay? In the blood is the life. What happens when you drain the blood out of somebody? All the blood. The life leaves, right? The life is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. If we get into this farther, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk more about this next. I don't know. Anyways, an atonement for your souls. I have given it to you. Remember that this is God speaking in his word. God's word speaking to you. I have given what? Blood as an atonement for your soul. The blood, the life is in the blood. Okay? Now we will kind of think about this with our heads and we'll go, okay, well, this means that we need to make a blood sacrifice of a bull and a goat so that we can have atonement for our soul. But he's specifically saying, I have given what? It, the blood. I've given blood to you. Well, at that point, back in Leviticus, he hadn't given blood that we know of, but he's prophesying. This is not only scripture that they went by. This is a prophecy of him. Past tense, I have given it to you. Now, if you had a revelation of back then, you could have been righteous with God, just like Abel was at the beginning. He sacrificed the bloods of the animal that he had, and he believed that of the blood of Jesus, and it made him righteous with God. And the blood began to speak. What's the blood speak? The blood is going to begin speaking. Yeah. Better things than that of Abel. Ooh. Let's see here. Revelation 11:11. The life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. The life is in the blood. Well, brother, could you stop saying blood so much? No, absolutely not. This is a church that honors the blood, and there's a reason we honor the blood, people. There is a reason that we'll lift up the blood, and we'll talk about the blood, and we'll sing more songs about the blood, and we'll write more songs about the blood, because as we will see, the life of God inhabits the blood of Jesus. Not everybody's blood, and I realize that last verse of Scripture, if you read it blankly without any revelation of Scripture, you think he's just talking about blood. Everybody's blood. And to a degree, yes, we're creating the image of God. But the Holy Spirit inhabits the blood of Jesus. Only one type of blood is holy. You understand? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the blood has to be holy for him to inhabit it. And there's something about the blood of Christ that is an attractor for the Holy Ghost. Like one of those Star Wars tractor beams. It sucks him in. You start talking about lifting up the blood and he's like, ooh, here I come. So get ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, this is talking about the book of Revelation, the witnesses, right, the prophets. They were slain in the street, and they were laid there, scorned of men. Ha! Slain! But after 3 days and a half, something happened to him. The Spirit of life entered into them and they stood up on their feet. The Spirit of life. It's the name of the Holy Ghost. A name, another one, another name of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The Spirit of life is going to be in the blood, okay? That's why I read this one scripture. We have an illustration of somebody being raised from the dead by the Spirit of life. And actually, this is what happens to every single Christian when they receive that blood sacrifice of Jesus. He died for your sins. When you believe on that and receive that, the Spirit of life comes into you and raises you from the dead to a new life in Christ. Same operation, same working. It happens on the inside of you. Spirits of just men made perfect. Right? Through the operation of the blood. Let me ask you a question. Without the blood of Christ, would the Holy Spirit come and do this function operation in you? No. Absolutely not. It's by his blood. When you receive the blood, Alan, he comes in. Whoop. raised to life, spirit of life in the blood speaks to you. New life, new creation. How do any of the miracles take place? Is by speaking words. The blood speaks better things than that of Abel. He's speaking a new life into you through the operation of the blood. You getting any of that? Yay. Ooh. Hallelujah. All right. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Yay, hallelujah. Hebrews 9:14. Well, brother, you're using a lot of scriptures this morning. Yes, thank you very much. I got to base this on something. Start talking about stuff like this, you better base it on the word, right? Phew. I deleted like a whole bunch of them last night, thinking I wouldn't have time. So I picked the ones that really hit it home. Let's see, 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. Where am I? I'm in Revelations. Hang on here. Hebrews 9:14. I'll start in 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through what? The eternal Spirit offered himself unto God. Now meditate on this. Who offered himself to God? Who did this through the eternal Spirit? It was the blood of Christ offered himself again. Why do you keep calling the blood of Christ a him? Because that's what the Bible calls him. All right? Man, you're messing with my theology. I'm sorry. But this is part of what we need to understand. If we want to walk in this revival, and I don't know anybody else talking about this, but if we want to walk in this revival, it has to come in the body of the blood of Christ. We will be known as a blood-bought church. The redeemed, blood-bought. Right? Now let me ask you a question. If blood just walked in here in the shape of a person, what are you going to call him? You're going to call him a him? The blood of Christ with the Spirit of God on the inside. Oh my. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, if you remember the series before this one, we talked about dead works. One of the foundations of the gospel of Christ, the first one, is to repent from dead works. That means to turn from dead works. Repent means to turn from, and you're turning away from dead works. Could be religious things, could be stupid things, could be sin. It's all dead works. When you turn away from that, that is the first step in following the principles of the doctrines of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge you, purge your conscience from those dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ is pure and holy, holier than anything could possibly be. And when you come in contact with him, that's what you say, holy, holy, holy. We should call it the holy blood of Christ because that's what it is. That blood purges you from all dead works to serve the living God. How much more? Well, let's just see how much more shall the blood of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Does the blood of Christ just purge your conscience to make you feel better? No, well, my past has been removed. Or could it possibly purge moles from your lawn?
Yeah.
All right? Let me ask you another question. Could the blood of Christ, when it dripped off of him, did it just magically disappear, or did it hit the ground? Right? Anybody see those movies? What was the, I never saw it. Everybody else saw it, so I didn't want to. That's just my nature. I'm sorry. What is the Passion. The Passion. Okay, I heard it was a bloody movie. All right? Blood everywhere. I'm on the camera lenses and everything. But they were depicting the blood, which it probably looked like. There would have been, you know, being whipped that much. Did he not bleed when he was whipped? By his stripes, you were healed. Something happened with that blood, the blood of Jesus. Healing comes, okay? When that blood came off of him, did it hit the ground? Sure. What did it hit? It hit everything. You think about science and evaporation and all this other stuff. His blood literally could be over 2,000 years now. It could have gone into the water system. It could literally cover the entire earth, right? Now, if the Holy Spirit inhabits the blood, which we've been talking about, doesn't that give him a license to do things everywhere? That's why the devil should not have laid a finger on Jesus at all. Certainly not make him bleed. He was in trouble when that happened. He was in trouble before that anyway, but here. Colossians, are you guys there yet? Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by him, who? The blood. By him to reconcile all things to himself. How many things? All things. Well, no, that just means the specific chosen Christians of the 144,000 on the blah, 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 blah. No, it says all things. By what? By him, the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We have here scripture telling us that the blood of Christ and the operation of the blood of Christ has the potential and ability and the call to reconcile all things, be it your family, be it your physical body, be it your finances. Amen. Right? Yeah. All things, reconcile them to himself. All things, whether they be in heaven or, once again, in earth. We happen to be in earth right now. Well, guess what? The blood of Christ, the blood of his cross, reconciles all things. How does he do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been talking about. Philippians 3:21. Glory be to God forever. And I'm telling you, there are so many more scriptures than just these. I'm just trying to, hit the major ones to whet your appetite to go, what? I've never heard this before. And then you'll start seeing these things jump out at you. The blood of Christ revealing himself through the pages. Remember, the three bear witness in one. The Spirit and the Word and the blood. Yes, hallelujah. The washing of water by the Word. Philippians 3:21. Oh, glory be to God forever. Who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We've talked about the working of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the working of miracles, the working of him, right? Now, this is according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. When something is subdued unto God or subdued into the kingdom of God, let's say a tyrant nation and we go and we subdue other nations and we bring them into our control, right? We would expect them to be like us, right? We would consume them. Our God is a consuming fire. We would consume them. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit consuming the wicked one by the spirit of his mouth? Consuming, once again, to subdue all things unto himself. When he brings it into himself, it becomes like him. It becomes part of his kingdom. It becomes redeemed. The blood was shed in order to redeem all things. And through this blood, he is able, the operation of him through the blood, he's able to subdue all things to himself. If you have a sickness in your body, the blood and the operation of the Holy Ghost through the blood will subdue that into healing, the kingdom of heaven. Right? If you have debt, the blood and the operation of the Holy Ghost on the blood and in your finances will cancel the debt, cause it to be removed, cause it to be subdued unto himself. Does God have any debt? Does his kingdom have any debt? Wait till you get to heaven. You'll be like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I racked up that kind of a credit card bill. Man, I'm going to be eternity paying that off. Sorry, Rich, that'll be 800 billion easy payments. Better get working on that. No, he's subduing it to himself. There's an operation. Look at these words, people. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. There's a working whereby he is able to subdue all things, right? I think you're getting some of this. Glory be to God. Ephesians 1:19. What is the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things? Glory be to God. Ephesians tells us quite clearly. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of this power to usward who believe, according to the working, again, same word, according to the working of his mighty power. All right? The working of his mighty power. Who would this be talking about? The Holy Spirit. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The working, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself, this is the working. When he raised Christ from the dead. Right? This is where he subdued all things to himself, far above all. Okay? Gave him a name which is above every name. A name something. Chair. He's above it. Right? Building. He's above it. I don't care what the name is. He is now above it. This is the working whereby he's able to subdue all things. Let me ask you a question. You can receive this or not. I don't care. I get a kick out of it. All right? The blood of Christ. Was there any sin in his blood? Was there? No, no sin in his blood. He shed his blood. Where did he shed his blood? He shed it on earth. When he died and he went to hell for 3 days, where was the blood? Did the blood go to hell with him? Was the blood still the blood we're talking about now? Was Was the Holy Spirit able to inhabit that blood? Who rose Jesus from the dead? Who paid the price for Christ to be rose from the dead? He paid his own price. The blood was still alive with the Holy Ghost. He spoke, and Jesus was raised from the dead. Who spoke? The Holy Spirit through the blood. This is the operation whereby he's able to subdue all things to himself. The Holy Spirit inhabiting the blood of Jesus rose him from the dead. Yeah. The speaking blood. The blood spoke. Jesus was raised from the dead. The blood speaks. Alan gets saved. The blood speaks. Joyce gets healed. Who's speaking? The Holy Spirit through the blood. Remember the speaking Holy Ghost. He speaks, manifests himself through words. The blood is what gives him body and the right to speak. All right. Here we go. What is the exceeding? He's talking about, this is a prayer. He says, I'll go back to verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward who believe. What gave Abel the power to believe he was righteous? It was the witness of the blood in the sacrifice. It was not a sheep or a goat or whatever it was he sacrificed. It was not that blood. It was the witness of the blood of Christ that was to come. His faith in that blood made him righteous. It spoke better things to him. It spoke things to him. God gave testimony to his gift. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? We went over this before. Who was raised with him from the dead? We were raised in the same place, seated in the same place. That's a different message, but this, we were seated in the same place, heavenly places in Christ by the operation of the same blood. Now, if it was the blood that raised you from the dead and you're seated in the same place with him, what, is it something else that raised him from the dead? Absolutely not. It was the same blood. It was his blood. And the Holy Spirit speaking through his blood that raised him from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places. Same operation in you. You're raised up by the speaking blood of Christ, seated in the heavenly places, far over and above all principalities and powers. Same blood speaking. Sorry if I'm spitting, but you try to say same blood speaking to Romans 8 and 11. All right. Romans 8 and 11. I hope I'm not going too long, but you know what? I want to really get this across, okay? This is something that I believe is vital. It is one of the major reasons why people haven't had the power of God coming in, because they've been rejecting the blood. You have to lift up the blood of Jesus for him to inhabit it. And when he inhabits the blood, he comes and inhabits the blood. He shows up. It gives him a body. It gives him a voice to speak through. Let's just see here. Romans 8, 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Once again, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, it was the Holy Ghost. Raised him up from the dead through the operation of the blood of Christ, which was shed for everyone. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Glory be to God forever. Acts 3:19. Glory to God. Now hang on here. Take a deep breath. We're almost done. Maybe. Hallelujah. Acts 3:19. This is also one of my favorite scriptures. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, which means what? Turn away from dead works. You're turning away towards God. And be converted. He said something's going to happen to you when you turn away, you repent, you're converted. Right? That your sins may be blotted out. Now, let me ask you a question. What blots out sins? There's only one thing. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Right? So there had to be the shedding of blood to give you remission of sins. He's saying, that's what he's talking about here. He says, repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Okay? Talking about the blood. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The King James, I think, does a little injustice here. You look it up in the NIV and many other translations, and it says that, or so that. Okay? Just put a little note in there. So that. It says that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Now listen, it's in the blood that allows the presence of the Lord to come in. So that, right? His presence can come in. What do we want? We want the presence of the Lord. So we have to have the blood blotting out, keeping clean, the blood in manifestation and operation, so that the Holy Spirit can come. The times of refreshing. And if you're as excited as I am about being in this time, right? There's a refreshing that will come from the presence of the Lord coming in. The blood enables him, gives him place and space. Hallelujah. All right. Well, what does this have to do with me? Well, let me tell you. Revelations chapter 12. Well, we spoke about all things being subdued, right? All things. That includes all things. All things. Your job, your boss, your family, you name anything you want, any name that is named. All things are able to be subdued by the operation of the blood of Christ. Right? And we spoke about the Holy Ghost manifesting through words. We spoke about the blood speaking. The blood speaking, which would be words, right? We spoke about the Holy Ghost coming at, so that the times of refreshing will come. When? Because of the blood being applied. Now look at Revelation chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame who? This is talking about the Antichrist and the adversary, and you can apply it to your day. You want to overcome something? Well, you have the right to overcome all things. All things, anything. If it has a name, you can overcome it through what I'm talking about, right? If it doesn't have a name, give it a name. Then it has one. Amen. Right? They overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. All right? So what you can do
We've spoken about this many times, the Holy Spirit talking, speaking words, manifesting himself. What gives the Holy Ghost the right to come in and manifest himself? The blood. He embodies the blood. He gives the blood voice. But he has no right over you because you have an authority that is your own. It's the authority of the believer. You want to get saved? You make the choice. You get saved. You want to be healed? You get healed. You've got a mouth too, right? You have to choose to say, I make Jesus Lord of my life right now. You have to choose to say, I will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you have to speak words, right? You speak in other tongues. You speak as the Spirit gives you utterance. Spirit could be giving you utterance. You not speak, it's not going to happen. You have to speak. That's your authority. Here we see that they overcame someone by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Were they somehow possessed by the Spirit of God and they had no control over their mouth, so they did these things? No. This is said they overcame. They had a testimony. Right? What you need to do is give the Holy Spirit place. How are you going to give the Holy Spirit place? By pleading the blood of the Lamb on whatever it is that you got a problem with. If it's your neighbor, plead the blood of the Lamb on him and his house and his dog and his lawn and all of the stuff. Plead the blood. Speak the blood. Say, Father, I speak the blood of Jesus on my neighbor. On his dog, on his wife. I speak the blood of Jesus all over my house. Walk around the perimeter of your house and speak the blood of Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks you look like. Old-time Pentecostals used to do this, and they had some manifestations that we're envious of. Yes. Speaking the blood. When you do that, who is able to then come and inhabit it? Times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord because you have sanctified things and made ready for him. Yes. Speak the blood of Jesus over your legs and over your eyes. Yes. Speak the blood of Jesus over your family, over those that are not saved. You're speaking the blood. You're giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to come in and work. Amen. They overcame him by the blood and the word of their testimony. We've already talked about who gives the best testimony. The testimony of man is great. That's actually the next verse after that in John chapter 5. The testimony of, let's flip over there. John chapter 5. Can the blood speak? Oh, yes, the blood speaks. 1 John chapter 5. Yeah, right. 1 John chapter 5, 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. All right? We can testify and we can say stuff, and they did. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is a more greater testimony? When you speak the blood of Jesus on something, and then the speaking blood, the Holy Ghost inhabits the blood and begins to speak his testimony. And the arm grows out, and the neighbor shuts up and comes to church, right? And the moles leave the lawn. The speaking blood, his testimony, he speaks, right? You plead the blood, you apply the blood, he inhabits it, and he speaks. And there's a manifestation that takes place. It is him manifesting himself once again in the earth. The demonstration and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And he wants nothing more than to be able to manifest himself freely. The only way he can do that is through the blood. So, We should be blood talkers, blood speakers. I speak the blood of Jesus over everything I have, over my wife, over my car, over my life, over my head, over my wallet. Glory to God, I speak the blood of Jesus. And what happens? He has the right then to inhabit it. Are you saying the Holy Spirit inhabits your wallet? Yes, because the blood of Jesus inhabits my wallet. Because I overcame debt and poverty by the blood of the Lamb. And not only the word of my testimony, but the word of His testimony. And His testimony is greater. Because He's God. Glory be to God forever. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you that you are doing great things in our lives. We take this opportunity to claim the blood of Jesus and speak the blood of Jesus all over our affairs, all over our church, all over our area, the blood of Jesus. We use our mouth to speak the blood all over everything we have and say and do, all over our families, all over our finances, the blood in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, you may now inhabit, we expect you to inhabit the blood and give testimony to the glorious, holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living blood, the speaking blood of the Lamb.